I mean, are we going to talk about this on the
thing?
Oh,
we can. Yeah, I was making conversation.
No.
Oh, no, sure. I mean,
this is valuable podcast. This is airtime.
No, I mean,
no talking until we're recording.
It was basically a fluky accident how it all happened. And it happened because of a podcast that a comedian who I used to work with and we're still buddies, he does a podcast called Open Tabs where he basically goes through his internet search history from the last week talks about, you know, what he was looking at or, you know, what video he was watching or whatever. There's no porn or anything weird.
Well, sometimes.
Well, it could be.
It's not that weird.
Right.
If we're talking about how internet's used.
And he goes, oh, I got to go. I have to show you this thing on Instagram. And he wanted to talk about Chris D'Elia.
No. Mm-hmm.
And this podcast is also like broadcast on YouTube. So you can see his computer screen, so in the little corner. So you see him and you see his computer screen. And he went to Instagram and my feed showed up and it was a picture of a steak. I was like, oh, my buddy Paul Baldwin made a steak. And so he's like, what else has Paul Baldwin been up to? And he noticed that I hadn't posted anything in like 3 years, and then suddenly I post a picture of a steak. And he thought that was hilarious. It's like, how amazing must the steak have been that it 3 years later he, you know, tries to remember his password and he has to share this picture with the world.
Right.
So he kind of punked me and told all of his listeners to start following me and commenting on this picture. So, you know, a few days later, my phone's blown up. I'm like, what the hell is happening here? And within a day or two, we figured out that he had mentioned it on his podcast, and so we decided to just own it. And a lot of the people were calling me the Steak King in the comments. So we did a video where I'm like, I'm your Steak King, and here we go. And so
you decided to own
court. We've just owned it, and now we've got 5,500 Instagram followers.
What I admire the most about it is that most people who return to Instagram, of all things, would probably post a picture of themselves. Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
To not even turn inward and be like, here's a selfie. I got a new haircut. Like, right. I really had to share this moment of confidence. It's a piece of meat. And that's really what Instagram's about, right? Showing off pieces of meat.
Sure.
I mean, that's really what it is.
Should be.
A true steak king.
That's right.
Was it going to be a return to Instagram, or was it just going to be a one-off?
I mean, it was Barb's idea. I was in between work contracts, and she's like, you need to have a bigger presence on social media. And the whole reason I posted this picture was because I'm pitching a show about this butcher shop. And I had gone to the butcher shop, and I interviewed the couple that owns it. Interesting folks, and we were kind of batting around ideas that we could do for a pitch. And they're like, here, take some steak home with you. And I'm like, great. So I took it home, we cooked it. And so I took a picture of the steak and I tagged Western Daughters,
tweet at Nate Rigoli if you want to sponsor this. Yeah.
Grass fed.
We need
beef.
More steak for our videos too, Western Daughters. Marzix. Yeah. We've tagged you twice and
true.
You ignored us.
Marzix owes us something.
They kind of do. They were mentioned on Bert's podcast.
Well,
sort of. He said the name wrong. He was like, "Muh."
He's dyslexic, so he has a hard time.
So M A R C Z Y.
It's not a great name.
K Q.
I mean, it's a great name, but it's not an easy name.
It's just a lot of consonants. Consonants, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a pseudo game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Rigolia. Each week, I subject my guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea about them, or if they all too often just need to pass. This week, we are recording live in the Steno War Room, and we are joined by my usual guests, Shannon Page. Hello, Shannon. How are you?
Hi, I'm great.
Great. Good to see you again.
You too.
It's always a pleasure, you know? And John Paros. John, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. How are you, Nate?
I'm great. I didn't fall down this week at all.
That's another really great shirt you've got on this week.
You're too nice. It has oars on it, or paddles, I guess, or maybe tiny tennis rackets. And the Joker in the corner.
Spread legs.
Oh, God, it could be. Oh, no. Like a Jeffrey Dahmer situation. We're also joined by two taking ladies' bodies apart. I'm pretty sure that's what he did, right? legs in his freezer.
That was a big jump, though.
I'm
sorry.
Yeah.
Cut that.
Not gonna cut anything.
Except somebody's legs off.
You're right. And this week we are joined by two very special guests. First, we have the Steak King, Paul Baldwin. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
All right, thanks for being on the show. And the Steak Queen by marriage, Barb Baldwin. She wasn't born into Cheers. It, so feel free to question her her claim to the throne should anything happen to Paul during the game.
Pass.
So we will go through a list of topics. We're going to start the game by playing by doing rock, paper, scissors to determine who goes first. You will pick a number, 1 through 12. I will read the topic related to that, ask you if you have a vague idea about it. You will get the opportunity to say, yes, I do, or to pass. Then we will move on to the next person until everyone has said whether they have a vague idea. Then I'll come back to the original person, and you will get to wax poetic about what you know about whatever the topic is.
Oh, boy.
I will assign points, which are extremely arbitrary and a lot of fun. Sometimes it's a 60-point game. Sometimes it's a 2-point game. It just depends. Shannon usually wins, and yeah. That'll be how it works. There are a couple of mini games in here that are going to be fun. You'll know that one of the mini games is coming because Shannon's anxiety will become very overt, and we'll go from there. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go.
Let's do rock, paper, scissors. It's going to be 1, 2, 3, shoot. All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3, shoot. Okay.
I don't know how you score rock, paper, scissors with multiple.
We gotta go again. Everybody did different things.
It
usually does at some point. So let's try it again. 1, 2, 3, shoot. It's all scissors. Okay. 1, 2, 3, shoot. John wins in a rock versus scissors attack. John, pick the first topic.
How many this week?
There are 12.
Okay, I'll take the 12th one.
The 12th one. All right, great. John Peros, do you have a vague idea about long pig? Long pig.
Can you spell that for me?
L-O-N-G space P-I-G.
Long pig.
Long pig.
No, I think I'm going to have to pass.
Okay. Paul, long pig.
Can you
vague idea?
Can you use it in a sentence?
You just did.
Do you have an idea?
Long pig.
People sometimes eat long pig. That's about as much of a sentence I can give you without telling you what the topic is.
I think I'm going to have to pass as well.
You're going
to
pass?
What if everybody passes?
Well, then everybody gets points and I just tell you what it was.
No idea.
Which, again, as I said in the intro, happens a lot. Barb.
Nope, pass.
No? Nothing on long pig. Shannon, long pig.
Pass.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, great. I'm going to give everybody 10 points.
Oh, great.
To start out.
Is it bacon?
No, it's not. But that's a fair guess.
That's a good guess.
Okay. The one thing I didn't do was set up the scoring part, so I'm going to do that real quick.
Is it like the pig that you put on like a the thing?
Like a skewer, like a...
No,
like
not a skewer, roll. Like when you have a pig roast.
Yeah.
Like,
the spit.
The spit.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant by skewer.
Like a skewer is a mini spit.
Are those beers spoken for?
Have a beer. Long pig is a euphemism for human flesh.
I was like, you can't have a whiskey and a beer.
Human flesh?
Yes.
It's human flesh?
Yeah. Long pig is a euphemism for human flesh.
That's
used by cannibals of the Pacific as meat.
Oh.
It recorded uses began in 1857. Robert Michael Ballantyne wrote in The Coral Island, A Tale of the Pacific Ocean, quote, "As a long pig," I exclaimed in surprise. "Why, what does he mean by that?" "He means something very unpleasant," answered Bill with a frown.
Is this Urban Dictionary?
And it tastes like chicken.
No, this is, yeah.
Wikipedia.
Also, yeah, it is Wikipedia. Also, Osa Johnson's I Married Adventure. "We were reckless enough to risk being served up as long pig by the savages of Malakula. That was our lookout, not his." So there you go.
Can I ask a rules question?
Yes.
So let's say I had decided to answer that, and I made something up, and it was wrong, but everyone who didn't know what it was bought it. Could you still get points?
You would be penalized if you made something up that convinced other people. You would probably get points if you made up something that was funny. I'm very, selective.
Okay. So if you like the answer, you get points.
Yeah. Okay. The goal here is not to mislead the listener, but I enjoy, like, yeah, if you were like, oh, yeah, long pig is, like, you know, when you stretch pig out and you sew three pigs together, mouth to ass, like human centipede, that makes a long pig. That would have been funny. You probably would have gotten a point.
Okay. Yeah. Fair.
John, you get to pick again, since no one had any ideas. 1 through 11.
11, please.
11! All right. John Paris, do you have a vague idea about Upton Sinclair's The Jungle?
Sure, I have a vague idea.
Great. Paul, Upton Sinclair's The Jungle.
I should have a vague idea, but not confident enough to...
No, just say it.
Yeah, pass.
No, there's no penalty.
Yeah, there's no...
You always
want a bid. If you can talk anything about it, you want a bid.
Yeah. And John might say something that'll trigger you.
Right, John's going to start, so whoever says they have it first,
and then all you have to do is add on to it, and then
score
points.
Okay, vague, sure.
Great. Okay, Barb, vague idea about...
Vague idea.
Okay, Shannon?
Vague idea.
Great. John Paros, start us off. Okay. Upton Sinclair's The Jungle.
I mean... I haven't read the book, but it's a book.
It's a book.
That's a point right there. I don't know. I want to say it was like at the turn of the 20th century that he published this, kind of approximately.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And it was basically an expose of the meatpacking industry.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done.
I don't know if there's much more to know about it than that.
Okay. Great. Paul, can you add anything?
I want to say the book was published in the 20s.
It's a little earlier than that. No, John was closer.
It's okay. I got nothing.
Okay.
We have this book at our house.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
But I've never read it. I've had it for... I definitely had a point in my life where I was like, I'm going to read more. So I bought, like, Uncle Tom's Cabin and, like...
All the classics,
and I didn't read any of them, and now they're torn to shreds nearly on our bookshelf. But I do know that it's like controversial, and people are like, "Don't read it because it's gross, and you're gonna barf everywhere." That's what I know.
That is true. It was very controversial because of the explicitness of the content. We're gonna go into Marie Kondo corner for a moment. Do the books that you haven't read spark joy?
No. They should go right in the trash.
All right. Great.
I'll put them in my little neighborhood library at the end of my street.
Yeah, well, that's a great idea.
I'm interested that you said that they were all torn up on your shelf.
Beat up. Not even dog-eared. Because that would imply that I, like, read the book.
Well, I don't know.
How are they beat up?
I think.
Because I've had them for, like, 25 years, and I just keep moving them around thinking I'm going to read it. So they're, like, worn down.
Oh,
and, like,
sure.
And, like, water-stained and
I'm
stuff.
I'm picturing that you're like, I'm not going to read this one.
I love the idea of someone who doesn't read wanting to appear to be a reader going in and actively dog-earing books and being like, oh, I'm going to write just a nonsensical note in the margins of this. I want people to feel like I've been here.
I think there's a service for that.
If there's not, we should start.
Put it up on TaskRabbit.
I love tedious things. Okay, Shannon, what can you add about Upton Sinclair's The Jungle?
Okay, I'm probably way off base here because based on what everybody else has said, it's not at all what I thought. But for some reason, I thought it had something to do with race relations and that it was a Sidney Poitier movie also. That it had been turned into a Sidney Poitier movie.
Okay.
But I can't...
I wonder if there's another Upton Sinclair book that is that.
But, I don't know. I'm just making shit up.
Well, so The Jungle is a novel written in 1904. John was correct, at turn of the century, by American journalist and novelist Upton Sinclair, born 1878, died 1968. Sinclair wrote the novel to portray the harsh conditions and exploited lives of immigrants in the United States, in Chicago, and similar industrialized cities. His primary purpose in describing the meat industry and its working conditions was to advance socialism in the United States. However, most readers were more concerned with his exposure to health violations and unsanitary practices in the American meatpacking industry during the early 20th century. Mm-hmm. Greatly contributing to a public outcry, which led to reforms, including the Meat Inspection Act, which, hey, the government's open again, so people are inspecting meat again. Sinclair famously said of the public reaction, quote, "I aimed at the public's heart, and by accident, I hit it in the stomach." So there you go. That's Upton Sinclair's The Jungle. John, I'm going to give you a point.
Dude, yes.
John. Let's see. Paul, I'm going to give you a point, too, because I like you. Barb, I'm going to give you a point. I
certainly don't
deserve
Actually,
I'm going to give you 2 points, yes. Barb, because we got talking book. About books. And Shannon, I'm going to give you half a point.
I don't. Okay.
You know.
I How do we get 10 points for passing on the first one? And then...
The game is mysterious. Yeah, okay. It's as mysterious as love itself. You just have to sit back and enjoy the ride. Barb, you get to pick the next topic. Okay. So 1 through 10.
Let's go with 1.
Number 1. All right. Now, so everybody knows, there will always be a number 1 because we accordion in. So it'll be
I can pick one every time if I want.
You could, yes.
Okay.
And you could also pick the last one every time, which is, these are things John does routinely from week to week. Barb Baldwin, do you have a vague idea about the idiom, all sizzle and no steak?
Vaguely?
Great. Okay. Shannon, all sizzle and no steak.
Sure.
Okay. John?
I'll play along.
Great. Paul?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's a very confident yes. Okay.
Start us out, Barb.
Well, I'm guessing that it means that you're all flash and no substance. Like, you're just kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of like Paul.
Oh! Shots fired! Yeah.
That's all I got.
Great.
I said,
isn't that pretty much the end of the...
That's kind of... Like, maybe there's a movie quote behind it, or maybe it's something... Maybe someone famous said it. I don't know. It's your turn. I will stop.
I like the jazz hands, though. Someone famous.
John, do you want to have anything?
I mean, that says it all. I don't want to modify that, but what I will say is there's that also that saying about, you know, in advertising, you want to sell the sizzle and not the meat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it kind of reminds me of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, the
never heard that. We all went, but...
You never heard that?
No, I've heard that. I feel like that was maybe even on Mad Men.
I don't know. I don't watch Mad Men.
Yeah. It's TV and rock and
roll. I think you need a little bit of sizzle and a little bit of steak is the idea. Because if you have all sizzle and no steak, then...
There's nothing there.
Yeah, as Barbara's already told us.
Selling it.
Well, you have to sell it. You have to have the sizzle and the steak.
You need a product to sell.
You need a steak.
You're not going to serve the sizzle.
Yeah, you can't eat
the
sizzle. You
can't serve the sizzle. Yeah.
You only eat the steak.
Can you eat the sizzle? Tweet at Nate Renault. Tell us what you think. It's basically a thing or person which fails to measure up to its description or advance promotion. So there you go. Over-promising, under-delivering, all sizzle and no steak. I'm going to give Barb another point. Shannon, no points. John, no points. Paul, no points. But you guys are all great. Barb, pick again. 1 through...
Oh, I get to go again?
1 through 9.
Ooh, 5.
Ooh, it's the bonus question.
Yay!
All right.
Or boo, I don't know. I
don't know. Oh, no. This is... So, for the bonus question, we're each going to get a turn at this. You guys all remember the classic CNC toy? You pull a lever,
yes.
The farmer rotates and points at an animal that lives in the barnyard, and then the CNC tells you what that animal says. Mm-hmm. Your task is to name an animal from that classic children's toy and to then say what that animal says, as the CNC would.
All right, well, can I go?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that there's a cow.
Oh, yeah.
And it says moo.
Great. Okay, Shannon.
That was the only one I was sure of.
I was like, it has
to
be.
Pig goes oink.
Perfect.
Oh,
that might get you an extra half a point. John, pick an animal.
I'd like to think there was a rooster on the farm and it said cock-a-doodle-doo.
It sure did.
Yes.
Well done, John. And Paul, go ahead. What do you got?
I don't know any more animals.
I'm torn between a sheep that goes baa. Okay.
That was good. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other options include a duck.
I mean,
was there a dog?
There was a dog.
I was
going to
say dog if it was.
There's also a cat. Great job, everybody. That was good.
So it's a farmer?
Well, there's a farmer in the middle, right?
So
on
is
the
sheep
the air
really a farm animal? I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yes, a sheep is a farm
is
animal.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Are sheep herders not farmers?
No, they're shepherds.
Oh, is that okay? So this is nomenclature.
Okay. Nomenclature.
I hate that word.
Someone should call someone a farm herder then.
A farm herder.
And then it's like, oh, well, you manage all these farms, which includes all the things under them, creating a hierarchy, which John and I were talking about earlier. So that's good. Paul, I'm gonna give you a point. Barbie's gonna get a point. Everybody's getting a point. That's what we're doing. And let's see.
Feeling generous this evening.
Oh yeah, we're having gentlemen. We're having a great time. Okay. And now I'm going to kick to Shannon to pick the next one. 1 through 8.
I'll go with 6.
Number 6. Shannon Page, do you have a vague idea about the 1987 film Stakeout?
Oh, I do, but I absolutely can't think of anything about it. Okay, I'll say I have a vague idea.
Okay, great. John Paris, Stakeout.
No, she's got a vague idea. I definitely don't.
Okay. Paul, 1987's Stakeout.
Oh, I get it. Stakeout.
Yeah. Yeah, everything's been steak so far.
I got it. I'm gonna go out on a way big limb and say vague idea.
Okay. Just for... All right. And Barb, Stakeout, 1987. Do you have a vague idea about that?
No. I mean, I could make something up, but no.
All right. Well, Shannon, let's start with you. What do you know about 1987's Stakeout?
All right. When I was in high school, I worked in a video store, and I've never seen Stakeout, but I feel like I remember the cover of it. And I think it's a buddy cop movie, and the cover of it is two cops under a bed looking out.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Wow, that is that's good. Yeah,
you have great. No idea how many times people would come into a video store and describe the cover.
That the should be.
Well, did you work at Blockbuster, or was it like a, yeah. more of a mom and pop?
It was a mom and pop one here in Denver called Video City.
Huh. Nice.
Do you remember any of the actors that were in it?
That's why I'm straining, is that I can kind of see them, but not quite. Like, I want to say it's like a Nick Nolte type.
Or a Mel Gibson.
I feel like the bed is blue.
Wow.
Is it? Are you looking
it's
at it?
It's not a blue bed.
No. Okay. That's not as blue. Much as I can do. That's as much as
I can do. No.
I'm not participating.
Oh, yeah. You can look at it. Okay. Paul, what do you got?
I may or may not have seen this movie. I don't remember. I don't have much to add beyond what Shannon says. I know it's a buddy cop thing, and obviously they're conducting some sort of a stakeout. shenanigans ensue, and is it a comedy?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's a comedy. It's a comedy.
I mean, if they're under a bed, it feels like that's a comedy.
It's the movie Taken, which that starts under a bed and doesn't.
But that's certainly not funny.
Yeah. I guess it's funny when you're like, because Liam Neeson's pretty old.
Yeah.
This is to have a daughter. Much ass is kicking, yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got. All
right.
Bart, I passed.
New pal, all right. Well, Shannon, great job.
I mean, wow.
So, Stakeout is a 1987 American comedy crime film directed by John Badham and starring Richard Dreyfuss. Emilio Estevez, Madeline Stowe, and Aidan Quinn. Relatively star-studded.
Mm-hmm.
The screenplay was written by Jim Koof, who won a 1988 Edgar Award for his work. Although the story is set in Seattle, the film was shot in Vancouver, which, I mean, everything's shot in Canada. A sequel, Another Stakeout, followed in 1993.
Stakeout 2?
Or no, it's called Another Stakeout.
Oh!
they were trying to kick that thing. The movie involves detectives Chris Leachy and Bill Reimers, who are assigned to the night shift on a stakeout of Latino waitress Maria McGuire. Maria's former boyfriend Richard Stick Montgomery has escaped from prison following a brawl with several guards with the help of his cousin, who helped him escape in a truck. And there you go.
And see why the guy won an award for that. Yeah.
Yes, that's the picture I remember.
Yeah. What color is the bed?
The bed is pink. That is pink. They are hanging out.
But the guys were wearing blue shirts, so.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Oh, my God. Right? And then the woman... So, one of them has a gun, and then the woman is putting on her red high heel very sexily.
Oh, yeah.
That is...
Yeah, you know what's... Yeah. There's definitely... You know I haven't seen this movie, but there's definitely seen the movie where they're both under the bed, and she gets completely naked, and they're like, whoa! What do we do? This could be a breach of our professionalism, but it's 1987, so nobody cares.
Yeah.
Toxic masculinity is in its prime!
Yes.
Great. Good job. Let's see. Shannon, I'm gonna give you two points.
I mean,
good. Because not only did you work at a video store, which is one of our noblest professions, but you knew that they were under the bed, and I'm gonna give Paul a point too.
Thank you.
Great. And I'm going to let Paul. You get to pick next. So 1 through 7.
3.
Number 3. All right. Paul Baldwin, do you have a vague idea about the meat cute? The term meat cute.
Oh man, meat cute.
Yeah. MEET. -CUTE.
No, I'll meet cute. I think I could make a guess. So I'll say I have a vague idea.
Okay, great. Barb, meet cute. Do you have a vague idea?
I've heard of it, and I don't know why. If somebody else started talking about it, I think I would be able to be like, "Oh yeah!" But
so you're really relying on Paul to.
But I don't know what
song to say before you at this point.
Yes. I don't know if I should have.
All right.
Okay.
You passing?
I don't know, because he doesn't know.
Now, you said the meat cute? Well, the meat cute?
Meat cute is a term.
Meat right, cute well, as a term. I will just say I have a vague idea, because I do.
Great. Shannon.
I am all over this one.
You're all over it. John?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Paul, start us off. What do you know about
meat cute? My first gut tells me it's like the original, like... Match.com maybe, or it's an online matchmaking service.
That's not correct. Okay, but that's not a bad guess. I like that. I'm probably gonna give you half a point for that.
Okay.
I was thinking along the lines of some sort of digital. Is it maybe a trending hashtag, something of that nature? I don't think that's right. I wish I was going after you. Dang it.
Yeah, sorry. Shannon!
The meet cute is how the couple in a rom-com meets.
Ah!
Oh!
And it's always adorable, and one of them, like, falls over while they're rolling. Yes! And the other one, like, catches them and keeps them from falling into a garbage can or something.
The meet cute.
And it's cute.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. John,
that's called meet dumb,
no,
by the way.
That sounds really good.
In film and television, a meet cute is a scene in which two people who will form a future romantic couple meet for the first time. This type of scene is a staple of romantic comedies. Frequently, the meet cute leads to a humorous clash of personality or beliefs, embarrassing situations, or comical misunderstandings that further drive the plot. Like when Tom Hanks's Barnes & Noble-esque store crushes Meg Ryan's tiny bookstore, and then Amazon crushes them both.
Or,
it's all very cute.
Or Matthew McConaughey met J-Lo, and then it turned out that she was his wedding planner, and he was cheating on his
fiancée.
It's
terrible.
Wait, that's so cute.
Is he in that Failure to Launch movie as
yes.
well?
Yeah.
Man, he had a run, didn't he?
I don't think that was a meet cute, though.
Or The Ghost of Girlfriend's Past.
Oh, yeah.
So many meet cutes in there.
How to Lose a Guy in 10
yes.
Days.
Yes. Oh.
Let's just name rom-coms.
With Matthew McConaughey.
With Matthew McConaughey.
Are both... How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is Kate Hudson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Because she's writing an article about trying
that's
to
how,
make
that's
a
the
guy.
Whole meet cute.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, what was the other one?
Ghost of Girlfriend's Past. Mm-hmm.
So he's just like a serial dater guy. Who
and then he's dead. And then he's like the best man in his like buddy's wedding or something. He's like at a wedding and then...
He falls for a girl, but all of his ex-girlfriends are there.
But...
And it's like a weekend away or something.
Yeah, but but are they coming into him in a dream? Is it more of like a ghost of Christmas Past?
I think
a little
it
bit
is.
Of a Christmas
I don't know.
Carol
I've never
situation.
Actually
yeah.
watched that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Like, there's a mansion involved. And yeah. he's like slick and he drives a Porsche and he's so cool. And he's a total dick.
But he learns to value each of the ex-girlfriends because they all show him that he was a prick.
Yes.
And that's
and
the,
then the girl that
and
he really loves... Jennifer Garner, I believe.
Yeah.
Ah, Dickens.
Ah, Dickens.
Because he's a real Dickens.
Yeah, you know, if only everyone could just be visited by groups of people to explain the ways that they
yes.
have wronged others, we would have a really efficient
that.
And loving society.
I wouldn't mind that.
It's just all intervention-based, right? great job. Shannon, I'm giving you 2 points.
I mean...
Paul, I'm giving you 1 point. Or I'm giving you half a point.
Yeah.
Not 1 point. Just
yeah.
And Shannon, I'm going to let you pick the next one. One
no.
through
there's
yes.
two.
Six.
There's,
wow.
there's,
wow.
Two.
I was there's too many.
No, there's a surprise round that I hate, and I'm inevitably going to end up.
Didn't we already do that?
I think there's a couple.
That was a bonus round.
Oh, yeah. No, the bonus is always different, but there's a special segment that Shannon doesn't like very much.
Number one.
All right, great.
Bonus!
It's not that. Don't worry. Don't pick the end one.
Yeah, that's why I went for the beginning.
So, this special question is meat, meat, or meat?
Ooh.
That's M-E-E-T, M-E-T-E, and M-E-A-T.
M-E-T-E?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
So, what the hell is that?
You'll find out. I'm going to read your three questions in order, and you have an opportunity to get points on this just by answering these, by filling in the blank. Okay.
If you just say meat.
No. That would have been too... That would have been absurdly...
Meat. M-E...
Meat, Bob.
So your first question, you are only tasked to fill in the missing words or word. Number one. Meet me in blank. This is referring...
St. Louis.
Yes, correct. Okay, number two. Batman meets out blank in Gotham.
The Joker.
Yeah, that works. That's fine. Justice also would have worked. That was the M-E-T-E version of meet, which is to hand out punishment or yeah, okay. And right. Number three. Quote, this club is a meat blank.
Market.
Yay, very good, Shannon. You're going to get a point for that. And you get to pick again.
One.
Number one. Great. Shannon Page, do you have a vague idea about the mythic and untrue etymology of sirloin?
No.
Okay.
No, I do not.
John Paros, do you have a vague idea about the mythic and untrue etymology of sirloin?
Mythic and untrue etymology of sirloin. I'd probably be making something up.
It's up to you. You want to make something up? Or
no, I'm not that funny.
You're going to... Oh, I don't know if that's true, but okay. All right. Paul.
The State King, unfortunately, has no idea about the mythic and untrue etymology of sirloin.
Okay.
I would have to make up something, too, and I don't think I have the chops for that right now.
No.
All right. Well, Barb, you've got a chance here. You can shut everybody out, or everybody's just going to get a point.
Is this... your arch enemy, sirloin?
Maybe.
Oh, geez.
Sirloin?
Do you have an arch enemy named sirloin?
No, not
We've
that I know
We've been
looking
for an arch enemy. We wanted to create an evil
if
character.
If there was a sirloin.
Who it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, sir space loin?
Yeah.
Attention.
I just see, like, a dude with a big
with a loincloth?
Yeah.
But at the stake?
Maybe. Sirloin.
I feel like you need to tell
I mean,
me
hopefully
story.
Not a filet
sirloin
mignon.
Cloth.
Yeah. Not a petite filet.
I don't know.
Okay, great. Everybody...
I feel like that is a false entomology of sirloin.
I mean, that was a false entomology.
Yes. No, that is, but that's not the one I'm looking for. I'm not going to give anybody a point that time. Everybody just stays where they are. So here's the deal. The cut of steak known as the sirloin is so named because of an English king who once knighted a piece of beef. That is the mythical origin. Now, this comes from John Taylor's 1630 work, The Great Eater of Kent, which celebrates the wondrous gastronomic feats of his title hero, Nicholas Wood, who was famously capable of engorging massive quantities of food, which includes the following punning reference. Dale had laid a wager that he would fill Wood's belly with good, wholesome victuals for 2 shillings. And a gentleman that laid the contrary did wager that as soon as Noble Nick had eaten out Dale's 2 shillings...
Whoa!
I know, right? It's getting a little hot in here. That he should presently enter combat with a worthy knight called Sirloin of Beef and overthrow him. In 1880, in Quotes and Queries... there's another mention of this. There is a note upon this subject in the Athenian Mercury, March 6, 1694, which is worth quoting. Quote, King Henry VIII dining with the abbot of Reading and feeding heartily on a loin of beef, as it was then called, that's spelled L-O-Y-N, the abbot told the king he would give 1,000 marks for such a stomach, which the king procured for him by keeping him shut in the tower, got 1,000 marks, and knighted the beef for its good behavior. So there you go.
Is the beef's name sirloin now?
Yeah, that's where this comes from. There is a long-standing weird through centuries in England.
But it's not true.
No, it's not true.
We don't know that.
Yeah.
Were you there?
Well, he just said it with the whole premise of the question.
He wasn't
there
either.
We should at least get to know the true etymology of sirloin.
Let me see if I can find that. Let me see if I can find that real quick.
Somebody drink that other beer. I don't want to take one beer home.
You want to split it, bro?
Okay.
Do it.
I was like, there's only one. I feel rude, but now I don't. Since I've been...
Yes,
sir. Pressured into it. God.
Sirloin is just... based on the Middle English word sirloin, S-U-R-L-O-I-N-E, which is itself derived from the Old French word sirloin, which is S-U-R-L-O-I-N-G-N-E. That is sir, which means above, and long for loin. So it's just above the loin.
That wasn't worth the wait.
No, it really wasn't, but hey, you guys waited for it. So
what
we are.
Was that first question about the long pig?
Yeah, long pig.
Human flesh?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Cannibalistic human flesh. Great. Wait, who just picked that one?
Pretzels?
I did, but I didn't do very good.
Okay. Good. Well, Shannon, pick the next one. One through four.
I was trying to... One.
Number one. Great. Shannon Page, do you have a vague idea about metonyms?
Nope.
Okay. John Paris, do you have a vague idea about metonyms?
Can you spell it for me?
M-E-T-O-N-Y-M-S. Metonyms.
No, I'd be guessing.
Okay. Paul, do you have a vague idea about metonyms?
No.
Okay. Barb, metonyms? All right.
No.
That was bound to happen.
Are they words that sound like meat?
They sound
like
they mean something.
It's a meat-based homonym.
Or is it like...
It's like meat and meat?
Like fake meat?
No, it's not. It's a metonym is a figure of speech used in rhetoric in which a thing or concept is not called by its own name, but by the name of something intimately associated with that thing or concept. For instance, Washington is the way we refer to the federal government.
Okay.
Washington isn't the federal government. It's a municipality in an area, but that's what we call it. Yeah.
Okay.
Or Westminster being a, you know, referring to it as the government in the UK.
So that's not a steak or meat related question.
No,
so
but
Trashville.
It had a metonym.
No, okay.
Someone might pronounce it metonym.
Metonym.
Not me, because I looked up the pronunciation, but someone might. I'm giving everybody 5 points.
I love how we get more points if we're wrong and don't even try.
The game, it's a mystery, scoring.
That's sometimes... Life just doesn't make sense.
Is that the prisoner's dilemma? Like, if we all say no, we get the most points.
Oh.
But
like
if
that.
One of us says yes, then the other three are...
Then we all get shot.
All right, there are three topics left. John, I'm going to let you pick.
Okay, I'll take the last one.
The last one!
Ding, ding, ding,
here
ding.
Here we go,
ding,
John.
Ding.
This is... It's time for Palm...
This is for you.
Palm du Terre.
What is this?
Palm and Palm du Terre.
I'm glad.
That's French for apple or potato.
Oh, okay.
Each time on Palme ou Pomme de Terre, I present an object to the person who's chosen it, and they will try to convince everyone whether it is an apple or potato. It is neither of those things, ever. So John is going to make a case as to whether my Italy knit cap beanie is an apple or a potato.
Mm.
What do you think, John? Palme ou Pomme de Terre. Mm.
Is it always this thing?
It's been all sorts of different stuff. The little bunny rabbit that's in the shelf, that was one. That's a potato.
But is it always apple or potato?
Yes. It's always got to be an apple or potato.
So you have to convince us that is an apple or a potato?
He just has to make a valid case. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In the past, like that was a potato because rabbits are close to the ground and apples tend to be in trees, right? Last week... Shannon got the Tupperware container that had a red lid. Apples are red, red lid. We had a little clementine out here.
I listened to that one on the way here when I was... And by the way, are you the one that had the shirt that your mom bought
you?
No,
that was John's shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I heard you complimented him on your shirt earlier, and I was I wonder if...
No, we're a very shirt-positive podcast.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So, John, is that an apple or a potato?
Wow, this is pretty abstract. I really can't say it's an apple or a potato, but...
Could be potato skin.
You haven't had enough practice with this. I got this in a heartbeat.
I have something in mind from it, but that's, you know. Yeah. I'm not gonna misjudge you. You're probably gonna get a point either way, John.
I don't know.
Paul's giving you like two ideas.
Yeah, I mean it could be a potato or a pomme de terre.
Pomme de terre.
Pomme de terre. And why I would say, I don't know. I think of like apples growing in a little nicer climate than potatoes do. And I would probably need the hat if I lived where potatoes like to live, but
that's a good case. Yeah,
that's all.
My thought about it was it is an Italy hat. Italy is shaped like a boot. Boots go on the ground. Potatoes.
Oh my god!
Wow.
Okay. I'm glad we didn't get that.
I was
thinking Noki. I thought Noki.
That's good.
Yeah. This is
how you really like that one.
I think this is the first time I haven't gotten it palm to palm to tear. So I've gotten good at it.
Palm to palm to tear.
John, I'm giving you 2 points for that. Like, well done.
Been growing in the ground. It's very...
Oh, yeah, no, this
could
like
probably be used, yes.
I've had this hat since probably 2001, so there's a lot of...
That hat is old.
There's a lot of, like, you know, scalp skin in here. Yeah. It's been washed, I mean, but, you know, come on. There's tiny little mites... tardigrades, etc. All sorts of life in there. Great job. So, John, you're getting those 2 points, and I'm going to let you pick one or two.
Number two, please.
Okay. Number two. Well, John Paris, do you have a vague idea about Trump steaks?
Sure, I'll give it a shot.
All right, great. Paul Baldwin, Trump steaks.
Sure.
Okay. Barb Baldwin, Trump steaks.
Sure.
Okay. Shannon Page, Trump steaks.
Sure.
Okay, John, start us off.
I think Trump steaks, it's like just another stab of the president to like eke his way into the luxury market.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, sure.
I think it's just another phony attempt at that, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's
mail order steaks. It's like Omaha steaks or something.
Yes, very similar.
Okay, that's all I got.
All right. Paul, what can you add?
Yeah, Trump Steaks is one of Donald Trump's many failed business ventures. It was to be a mail order steak thing. I'm not sure if it ever officially launched or not, but I know it was a failed business, just like Trump University and his casinos and his presidency and everything else about him.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't have to say anything. Good. I don't have to be the one. Wonderful. Barb, what do you anything to add?
Yes. In addition to your comments about Trump steaks, there's also a theory that Paul and I have.
Oh.
That the way you like your steak is indicative of your political.
Did you know Donald Trump likes his steaks well done?
That's what I was going to add.
Okay. Donald Trump likes his steaks well done, and he also eats them with ketchup.
Yep.
Yeah, which is not.
And by the way, anybody who likes their steak well done
is
probably a Trump supporter.
And the theory kind of holds true with most of the people that we know.
Uh-huh.
My stepfather, for example. Mm-hmm. Did not know of our theory, and we made a little video right around election time where it was, what did we call it? It was a nation divided.
A nation divided.
Go check us out on Instagram. It was really...
You plug it at Steak King.
At Steak King.
At Steak King. On Instagram.
It's kind of like they say, not all Trump supporters are racists.
Sure.
But all racists are Trump supporters.
Sure, yeah.
It's the same thing.
I had a similar conversation on Facebook today about MAGA hat wearers. Yeah.
Not all Trump supporters like well-done steaks, but all well-done steak eaters are Trump supporters.
I think that's
fair.
That
may not be true, but I'm going to stick with it.
Seriously, it's...
Her stepdad
is a Trump supporter. I posted our video on Facebook, and he writes, you know, haha, well done. Just like I like my steaks. And I was like, you sure about that? And he's like, yeah, I'm definitely sure. And I'm like, Paul.
You're right, Steve!
Steve liked the
Why would someone like their steaks well done?
I don't know. That's
yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think of a context in which it makes sense.
And like, I don't know why.
I enjoy jerky like anybody else, but that's a very specific process, and it's beyond well done to a new place. It's transcended that existence.
Yeah. Somebody who likes steak well done doesn't really like steak.
That's fair. They're just like, I don't want to get sick from this, so right. Just yeah. cook it all.
Exactly.
I don't trust any of you people. Everybody's going to kill me. That might be part of the
people thing. Don't like, yeah. They're like, I don't want to risk disease. I don't want any blood, risk of blood or pathogens.
It's because he's been to a feedlot. That's why.
Because he read The Jungle. It's because he
So this all can be pinned on Upton Sinclair. Mm-hmm. Shannon, do you have anything to add about Trump Steaks?
No, that's everything I was going to add.
Okay, well, hey, Trump Steaks is a discontinued brand of steak and other meats, that is owned by Donald Trump. The brand was launched in 2007 and was exclusively sold through the Sharper Image, which I guess
what?
Is kind of an upper-end thing? I don't know. And so. QVC. Trump Steaks failed to sell well through the Sharper Image, which discontinued sales of the product line after 2 months.
Oh, really?
Donald Trump registered Trump Steaks as a U.S. trademark in August of 2006. They were launched in May of 2007. Later in that month, Trump and some of the contestants on The Apprentice attended an event at Rockefeller Plaza at the Rockefeller Plaza Sharper Image store to promote the steaks. The meat was supplied by Buckhead Beef, an Atlanta-based company, and a subsidiary of Sysco. So there you go.
What a brilliant idea to market steaks at Sharper Image.
I was like, really? Yeah. Like, you want... So I want a drone and a massage chair, and also I'll just buy meat while I'm here. Right. Because that's what I'm thinking about.
Take this cool reading lamp.
I guess in fairness, one might purchase a gift for one's stepdad that one doesn't really know what they like at Sharper Image, and thereby be like,
He can burn these things to a crisp.
Overcooked meat is right here. I can take that over there.
Maybe you go into Sharper Image looking for a TV, and then you're thinking, Super Bowl.
This isn't pomme du player,
orange?
Pomme du steak.
I'm thinking it's the 80s, you have an office to decorate, you just got promoted on Wall Street.
And so let's buy some steaks.
Let's go to Sharper Image and get, I don't know.
Wait, is Sharper Image
some sort of weird lava lamp thing?
Or is that like an 80s?
Well, no, they were selling steaks in 2007,
malls.
Oh, right.
But I think
it's
they're not
around.
Malls anymore. Yeah, I think they died somewhere exist? Between that. That might have been the last roll
think,
of dice for sure.
Yeah, I think Amazon for sure wiped them out.
Like, our image. Our lad, this was our
and
last.
And we're all hitching our boats to it right now. Right?
Our image has dulled terribly. So I handed out some points. I don't even remember now because whiskey. But score break before we go into the last one. Paul, you have 20. Barb, you have 21. Shannon, you have 20 and a half.
Whoa!
And John has 20 also.
Oh my gosh, you're the second neck.
How did you get so many?
And the last question I have a feeling that no one's going to know about. But we'll see what happens. Let's see. Who should pick? Shannon, who do you think should pick the last question?
Oh, well, why do we even pick? Because there's only one. Oh, because
that person goes first.
Yeah.
Goes first. What do you think, Shannon?
I think we should let John go. He started it. He can finish it.
John,
you started it. You can finish it.
Schoolyard fight rules. Here we go, John. The last topic. Do you have a vague idea? This is recent news from the last week and a half. Do you have a vague idea about the Kentucky woman who tried to fence stolen meat? Fence being a term meaning that you tried to sell it. Not sword fighting. Not Olympic.
Maybe it's like a Salt Bay thing.
Stolen meat?
Yeah, John, do you have a vague idea about that?
I haven't heard about that one.
Okay. Paul, do you have a vague idea about the Kentucky woman who tried to fence stolen meat?
I'm usually, like, really up on current events, but
I have
not...
No, you're only up on Trump.
Oh, that's true. I only watch the...
You only watch Rachel Maddow.
Oh, damn it. And she didn't have the story, did she?
No, she did not have the story.
I passed. Yeah.
Okay. Barb?
I wasn't on Rachel Maddow, so I don't know.
Okay, fair. Shannon?
I think I'm going to say I have a vague idea.
Okay, tell us.
I might be confusing it with another story of stolen meat, though.
I mean, look, if you have another story of stolen meat,
like
I'm giving you
valor.
Points either way.
Kentucky woman, it happened in the last week.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh no, then mine's older.
Okay, well, I'm
going to hear this. There was, there was a person who I think worked at Walmart and stole a bunch of meat and kept it in their car.
Ooh. Always a good plan.
Yeah. And, well,
Was it winter?
It was winter, and I think they were caught pretty quickly, so it wasn't like it was sitting in the car for a long time, but it was a car full of... What?
It's the latest trend in solar cooking.
So it was a car full of stolen meat, but the punchline is that when they got caught, all the meat got returned and put back on the shelf.
No. Oh, gross. I was hoping the punchline was going to be, but when she was caught by the police officer, they had a meat cute, and it was great. Oh. That would have been the sweetest story. I stole some meat,
and I've been your dad.
I stole his meat.
The actual story took place in Martin County, Kentucky last week on January 24th. Deputies in Martin County say a woman is facing theft charges after she stole meat from two grocery stores in Inez and then tried to sell it all at a pawn shop.
At a pawn shop?
Yeah. Because that shows incredible criminal mastermind, right? Where you're just like, yeah, you know what? I stole some meat. I know where I'm going to take it. To a pawn shop, where clearly people want to buy old Stratocasters.
Yeah, exactly.
So she took it to, well, like, the pawn shop guy and was like, how much can I get for this 12-ounce sirloin?
Yeah.
And he's like,
What if I told you it was knighted by the Queen of England?
Right. She used to get her meat at the Sharper Image, so she thought, sell this meat at a place with other goods?
Does it say how she got
Well, I'm sure the pawn shop owner was like,
Are they under they're obligated to
You got
to
this
turn
from King Supers, lady, or whatever their store is there.
And how did they know she stole it?
She was caught by the grocery store manager.
She
was arrested in the parking lot of the pawn shop. She never got inside the pawn shop. So
that's unfortunate.
However, was to take it to the pawn shop.
Yes, but the kicker is the value of the stolen meat was nearly $100. So it's like not even really worth the trouble.
How much do you think that she would have gotten had she successfully pawned?
I feel like with pawn shop rules, like $30. Maybe?
If,
right?
Yeah.
Assuming it was on the high end of toward $100.
It's perishable. I mean,
What if they did perishable?
Yeah.
If it doesn't
sell.
Give me a ticket.
Give me
this
$10.
Meat is very sentimental. I will be back for it. I just have to pay my rent.
I just need it.
So that was great. Shannon, you're gonna get a half a point. Because of your meat related story,
meat theft story.
So we have a tie between Barb and Shannon for the win.
Ooh.
So you both won. So you're both going to get a chance to say how great it feels to have won this show. And hopefully, when you come back, we can talk about how your life has changed because everybody's transformative. This is like
I feel different. I feel like lighter.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not just the radon in the basement of this building. It's other stuff. John and Paul, you both tied for 20, so very close game. 1 point separating the.
It was an honor just to have played the game.
I appreciate that humble kindness. So let's do victory lap real quick. Barb, you get to start. Talk about whatever you would like to talk about, so you can plug something that you're interested in about as well. But feel free to talk about how you feel.
Well, I feel honored to have been invited on this podcast. I appreciate I was really excited. You were like texting me, and I was like, of course I want to be on your podcast. What is it? I would love to be a guest again along with the State King.
Great.
I guess I will plug him again and at the State King. We have a new video coming out tonight? Tomorrow?
Let's say tomorrow.
When this comes out, that'll be like last week.
It'll still come out 3 weeks from now.
Okay.
Oh, well.
If
it's not out by then,
Well, it's the pod. We recorded a video with with the Denver Degenerates. If you would like to participate in a video, we would gladly.
It's a podcast-related steak video.
I mean, if that doesn't turn people on, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, wow! So, it's almost like buying steaks at Sharper Image,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I have to ask real quick. Is your victory tonight going to change the balance of power in the state monarchy?
She always has had the power, so she'll keep it.
See, an intelligent,
yeah, I can answer that.
An intelligent leader knows when to back the people who really get things done behind the scenes.
That's why.
So, great. This is good. I'm just happy that like we're not ending a marriage tonight or anything. I hate having the amount of responsibility we have.
So. It would have been real messy tonight if things had gone a different way.
Anything else you want to plug, Barb?
I will turn it to my co-winner.
Oh. Yeah, Shannon, co-winner.
Very excited to have a co-winner. I think for plugging, I'll plug the other side. Sides. Creamed spinach.
Ooh.
Creamed corn. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little wedge salad.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Multifaceted.
A lot of creamed vegetables you're going with there. Yeah, yeah.
To go with on the side of my steaks.
All right.
That's what I want to plug. I want to plug creamed side dishes. You know,
sides don't get that much love. And I feel like the Blue Apron people really put out like a sides only box.
Oh, they did?
Situation.
No.
I think they're doing it. They did it for like Thanksgiving maybe only. They did these limited things. I heard it advertised on other podcasts. Blue Apron at Nate Regolia advertised for this. Sides need love too.
Sides.
Yeah.
That's what I'm plugging.
All right, John. Anything to plug?
No, I haven't got anything this week.
Nothing. All right. No, all right, Paul. So. Anything to plug?
I think Barb already plugged it. That's hey!
Well
Follow
done.
Follow us on Instagram.
Medium rare.
Medium and rare.
Be careful. Yeah. I mean,
you
medium
don't
want to
get messed up with the well done crowd.
No. I feel like we need to start some sort of change.org petition to get grading systems to give high scored papers a medium rare rather than a well done. Because well done misleads children.
It really does.
That's obviously the right answer. When I go to a restaurant, they're like, well, how do you want your meat cooked? And I'm like, I don't have any idea about how meat
I would like it well done.
Yeah.
Done well. Yeah.
Because, well done does not always mean done well. That's the more you
know.
That's our the
more
you
know
situation. If I can find a Star Trinkle wipe, I'll throw that in there. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. This has been a lot of fun. We'll have you back. I would love to have you back on for we'll do a champions game of some kind. We are definitely considering a bracket based sort of champions game. We'll bring everybody who's won in and have everybody kind of face off until I don't know, probably a fight to the death. I really don't know how to do it any other way.
Perfect.
I mean, it's kind of like eventually it's just gonna be a Highlander situation. And it'll probably be good for the show because it'll freshen everything. We'll be we get to spend a few weeks mourning the loser because they'll be gone.
And then everyone will be excited for season 2.
Yeah.
Now there's going to be some new characters.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when Matthew Modine died at the end, spoiler alert, Stranger Things season 1. That kind of stuff. Which I don't know if he comes back in season 2 because I haven't watched it all yet. Does he? Spoiler alert?
Wait,
Matthew Modine died?
I don't remember his character.
He was like the creepy dad professor for 11.
Oh yeah,
just like a very gray, pale Matthew Modine.
He had like white hair that stuck up straight.
He looked like Jim Jarmusch actually a little bit, but yeah.
All right,
that was great. Great times. So again, thank you guys so much for being on. Thank you all for listening. I know it's tedious for me to even ask, but please go to Apple or Stitcher or Google Play and rate and review us so that other people can find out, because that really helps us a lot. Otherwise, just share the links that we share. Tell people that you like the show, and let's get it spread further around the world, because we've already reached Japan, of all places.
What?
As well as parts of Europe. And Europe is the America of the East, as they say. No, that's a terrible thing to say. Europe's way better than us. Okay, thanks so much for listening. This is Nate Regoli signing off. Bye-bye!
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, are we... I was like, wait, am I supposed to like... Woo!
That was perfect.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, you should check out my podcast with Sean Gronkowski called You Better Believe This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Space Boy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.